When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. Best Show.
Hey, Step Uncle Tommy. How those bad boys are hanging?
Ugh. I don't like that. Hey, Chip. How are you?
Good.
Well, for people who don't know, I'd be shocked if people knew.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is my step-nephew, Chip. And can I ask how you got through on the line? Because we're actually in the final week of No Dude Vember, which no dudes can get through.
Oh, yeah. I know. I pretended I was a dog when Mike asked who I was.
You pretended you were a dog?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to picture this now. How would you have pretended you were a dog to get past AP Mike screening calls?
Well, you know, he answered the phone, and I just said, "Hello," and he goes, "Oh, hi, boy," and I went, "Will I talk to Tom, please?" And he said, "Oh, sure." He said, "Are you a boy dog or a girl dog?" And I said, "Girl dog," and he put me through.
He put you through. Okay. I can't believe that actually worked, but at this point, who knows anymore?
I don't know.
What?
I was doing a dog again. I said, I don't know as a dog.
Okay. See, I don't hear it as much as a dog.
What do you hear it as?
I don't know. I'm not, it doesn't invoke dog to me.
That's exactly how Benji talked in his films.
Benji, the dog Benji.
You know what Benji's last name was?
What?
Mackenzie.
I didn't know Benji in those movies had a last name.
A lot of dogs have last names.
Okay.
Lassie Jenkins.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about like Rin Tin Tin?
Rin Tin Tin, I think it was Kentworth, English dog.
Rin Tin Tin Kentworth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the dog on Frasier? His name was Eddie?
Eddie, yes.
Uh-huh. Do you have any idea what his name was?
Munoz.
Eddie Munoz.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know these dogs had last names.
They do. It's a whole thing. Look it up.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Not right now.
No, I wasn't going to, Chip. Don't worry. Uh-huh. So.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Look, you ain't mad at me because of what I said at Thanksgiving, are you?
You know, I would say that depends. Because you sure said a lot of things on Thanksgiving.
I did?
Mm-hmm. You did. You don't know whether you did or not. Yeah, you took over the whole two-hour dinner. You monopolized the whole thing.
Huh. Well, blame it on the weed. right?
Yeah, I thought there was a good chance you were high.
And the Coke.
Coke?
Yeah.
So you were doing Coke on Thanksgiving.
Dude, look, it's a proven fact that everyone at the first Thanksgiving was puffing tough and doing giant lines of Krell. George Washington, Frederick Douglass, Iron Eyes Cody, all them dudes. I did my research. Now you do yours.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna openly dispute the idea that they were doing coke at the first Thanksgiving.
Oh man, all the big historical American events are laced with weed, coke, rush, like, you know, locker room, you know, the stuff you smell, all kinds of stuff. Like, you know that. I think I heard you talk about it once. The Neil Armstrong, you know, when he went on the moon for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he went down and he said, "That's one small step for a baked man."
Oh, some caller talked about this. I think I was arguing with them about that. I've never heard. They said it was edited out or something.
I think he, like, hit his, you know, he was baked, so he hit whatever his communications button was by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't hear baked, but that's what he said for sure.
So this is how so you're looking at this as being patriotic.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so you're actually honoring America by doing coke before Thanksgiving dinner.
Of course I do.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to disagree with that on a variety of fronts.
Okay, well, you're not mad about the prayer, are you?
Well, yes, that I'm definitely mad about. Because for people, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show or not, but I've got there's been this long-standing tradition in my family where every member of the family, a different, would lead the family in a Thanksgiving prayer. And you get to kind of pick a song that you feel is appropriate lyrically. And everybody.
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea, and it's a long-running tradition that's been going on for as long as I can remember. And
right. This
year was finally my turn. So I had figured that I would do the yes time in a word, and I'd memorized 13 pages worth so I got the song, memorized 13 page prayer, ready to go, and then you did what I guess I'd say you prayer blocked me. And you started doing your own thing while I was cleaning off pudding that was splattered all over my shirt by you.
Hold on here. Are you accusing me of deliberately soaking you with my warm pudding?
I don't like how you put that.
What do you mean?
I'm not accusing you of soaking. Okay. Yeah, you splashed me with pudding.
Well, I didn't mean to.
Uh-huh. Well, God knows whether you did it on purpose or not, but it made a mockery of the whole prayer, and to be honest, it looked like you were making the whole thing up as you went along.
Oh, I was.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
That's...
Of course I was. Are you kidding? That prayer is so old and out of date, it's not even funny anymore. The part about girding the sharpling loins against the steaming hot plunging sword of our enemy? Mm-hmm. It's like so disturbing. It's not even funny.
Yeah, okay. Well, that part of the prayer is maybe a little inappropriate, but not nearly as offensive as the lyrics you were dropping on everybody.
Are you kidding? "I kill everything I F" is just as relevant today as it was when Kevin Allen wrote it in the 90s.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The 80s is even older than that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, please. That would not fit his 90s oeuvre.
Right?
Yeah. which had a different...
He toned it down a little bit then.
Yeah, and I think he was getting more into like a more of like a bluesy, like almost roots rock feel then.
I think G.G. Allen, had he not passed away, how long has it been at this point? Was it 1993 that he passed on?
Uh-huh, yeah, so we're talking about 24 years.
I think if he had not passed away, if he had not passed on to onto the other side,
mm-hmm.
I think he would be making records to rival that mid-period John Mellencamp stuff.
Like what? Like Scarecrow?
Scarecrow, uh-huh. What's the one that had hot dogs and hamburgers on it? The Lonesome Jubilee.
Yeah, okay.
I think he'd be doing stuff just like that. I think he'd have like a... I think he'd after that even, I think he would go into like a Tunnel of Love Bruce kind of thing. I think he'd polish it up a little bit. I could see him working with, I don't know.
Like Ross Robinson?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And also like Phil Ramone. I think he could do both.
Really? You think that G.G. Allen would have ended up with kind of playing with... Like for like if they got Billy Joel's band to back
absolutely
him up.
Yeah it's no secret that he was secretly jamming with well I guess I just voided the first part of that secret out by saying it was no secret that he was secretly playing right, so that kind of nullifies the secret part, right?
Well,
anyway,
it's clear that it was no secret because
anywho
he's saying
yes
that.
Yes
yeah
He was jamming with Liberty DeVito, Billy Joel's drummer, when he passed on.
Okay, wow.
Liberty DeVito was the drummer that night at the gas station.
I didn't know that.
True, yeah.
So he was already starting to get these pro session guys around him. So at the gas station, which is a makeshift venue at best.
Exactly. Yeah, and he actually did his own version of what's the song? Ballad on the Stranger.
The Ballad on the Stranger.
Just the Way You Are.
Okay. Yeah.
But he changed the lyrics to "Don't go changing to try."
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun
with the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
You are.
Yeah, I had to bleep all of that.
All of it?
Everything.
Yeah, I would have too.
Yeah.
It's sick, isn't it?
So, how much could G.G. Allen have been paying a guy like Liberty DeVito to like come down and jam with him?
Well, you know, Merle held the purse strings for the Murder Junkies, so... I don't think G.G. was really involved in that. I'm sure. I don't know. For all I know, Merle was paying him in like bootleg videotapes.
Sure, that's possible. That
yeah.
That Liberty DeVito is getting paid in bootleg videotapes rather than probably the $6,500 it would cost to get him to show
at
up
least.
To do a show like on an off night like that.
Yeah, and I haven't even brought up Kazim Sultan yet, who was playing bass that night.
The guy from Utopia.
Yeah, he's now in Blue Oyster Cult, you
well,
jerk.
I didn't. Well, then was he?
No.
No, he wasn't, you jerk.
See, when I name check a star, I like to reference their entire oeuvre.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was in Utopia at that point. Not Blue Oyster Cult.
Well, we can argue about that all night, but I don't want to.
Okay.
Because I want to. I think you're mad about something else.
Mm-hmm. All right. You think I'm mad about something else?
I do.
Well, you know, I'll say this, and I'm putting this as politely as I can.
Okay.
I'm very flattered that you're interested in my writing career, but I did not feel that Thanksgiving was the time or place to talk about any of that.
Well, look, I just wanted to pick your brain about you know, TV and movies and writing and all that stuff. I mean, it's no secret that I harbor dreams of becoming the next Norman Lear or the next Rob Zombie or preferably some cool combination of both.
Oh, so you'd like to be a combination of Norman Lear and Rob Zombie?
I would. I think I could really write, you know, programs with a heart that also are incredibly violent and have some of the finest hacksaw use you've ever seen on the silver screen and or TV.
So it would be programs that had a heart and also some social commentary.
Absolutely.
And also people being dismembered.
Yes, the other kind of commentary is that heart that we previously mentioned being cut out of its chest.
Okay.
And so, held aloft.
So literal heart.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Hasn't been done yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you could be at the forefront of that movement.
That's true. Uh-huh. Although Jesse Dayton, he's gotten the ball rolling, that's for sure.
Jesse Dayton.
Yes.
I don't know Jesse Dayton.
Well, you will someday. We should talk about some other stuff, though.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Speaking of, like, writing and the nuts and bolts of TV and movies,
mm-hmm.
This has plagued me forever since I first started watching them.
Uh-huh.
Why don't people ever say goodbye on the telephone?
Yeah. They just say the thing like, all right, so I'll meet you there at 4:00. And then they hang up.
Click.
I don't know if I've
okay,
ever
Okay, see
had...
you at 6. Yeah. Click. Where?
I don't know if I've ever had a conversation where I've gotten the information from someone and then just quickly hung up on them.
Right. I've done it to chicks, that's for sure.
Okay, that's you. I've never done it to anybody.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So that people saying goodbye, not saying goodbye.
I don't get it. And here's what I think you, because you're in the industry, you should spearhead a bill or an amendment to the Constitution that ensures that proper goodbyes are said on screen.
Well, I don't know how that would track legally, but it's definitely something that irks me, sure.
It would certainly lift the spirits of this nation right now.
A bill.
I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really, I think, what would lift the spirits of America. And what, like an amendment to the Constitution? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
To make sure that people say goodbye in TV shows.
Yeah, or like throw away one of the old amendments and put that one in its place if there's too many already.
Sure, okay.
Hey, have you seen Westworld?
A little bit, yes.
Oh, I really like it.
You
I
like
think
it?
It's really fun.
Uh-huh.
I like things where it's like it's like a other reality and you don't know who's in charge or what's going on or what is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I love the show. But there's almost no humor in it at all.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You should write for it.
For Westworld?
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
What
would
just
I do?
Off the top of my head, I think, like, you should write this new character in who's like a cowboy robot who complains to the guests about, I don't know, like sub sandwiches, and maybe he ranks the top 100 candy bars in great detail and in real time.
Sure, okay. There you
Something
go.
Something like that?
Yeah, you got your little shot in there.
No!
Yeah, no.
I think it would be cool.
Oh, you think that'd be cool in real time?
Absolutely, yes.
All right.
Just like the radio show.
Sure, oh yeah. Oh, so, and it sounds like that was such a loving endorsement of that.
I was punching that to make sure it tracked.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Oh. Hey, speaking of TV shows, I'm addicted to Locked Up on MSNBC. Have you seen it? Where they go into prisons and things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Harrowing stuff.
Really? You think it's...
Oh, yeah.
How so?
Oh. Well, it's like it's you're locked in a cell and it's crazy and everyone's mean to you. But I'll tell you, I will watch any prison show at this point. I think probably because it's like my ultimate nightmare, which, you know, of course, like most guys, is having to exercise in front of other gentlemen in shorts.
That's your ultimate nightmare.
Isn't it yours?
I've never considered it as something to be scared of. Look, I would not like to do that.
No.
I would hate to do that.
Yeah.
But I never singled it out as a fear to hold on to.
Don't be surprised if you have a nightmare about it tonight.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope I don't have a nightmare about me being in prison exercising in front of other people in shorts.
Hey, you know what?
What?
We should work up a gylet.
A gylet?
Yes.
What is a gylet?
Well, it's a pilot for a jailcom.
A pilot, which is a... Yeah. But for what is a jailcom?
Yeah, a jailcom is a comedy that takes place in a jail.
I didn't... Okay, a gylet.
Yeah. You know, I know for a fact that Warden Jacobs at Newbridge State Penn is taking pitches for gylets all this week.
Okay.
Let's try to come up with something right now.
Come up with a gylet, right, or a jailcom.
What a concept.
A gylet right, for a jailcom.
Pardon me?
It would be a gylet for a jailcom series.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, well, let's, sure. Okay, well, you have an idea?
Okay, what if there, I'll just start. What if there's like three guys in a cell, and how about they're listening to their transistor radio, and they're giving away tickets for the big, the big Foo Fighters concert.
Okay.
And the one guy reaches out of the cell and he gets the payphone that's right next to the cell and he dials the number and he wins the tickets.
Okay. Like he's the 100th caller or whatever.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And he gets two tickets.
To see the Foo Fighters.
Yes. And.
But he's in prison.
He's in prison, yes. But he's got to get out to see the Foo Fighters. You take it from there. How does he get out? How does he and... Oh, and there's also this other drama of which cellmate does he pick? Because they all like the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, I mean, they're a huge band in pretty much every prison. Guys just, they love... Well, I guess it goes back to that thing of working out. That's good workout music.
I think it is, yeah.
You know, all my life I've been waiting for something. So right? Just like clink, clink, right?
49, yeah, 50. Yeah. Let's do legs now.
And then like if you're cooling down, you probably listen to like one of the acoustic ones, right?
How would a song like that go, acoustic?
Like an acoustic Foo Fighters thing would go like, if anything could ever be this real forever. If anything could ever be this real.
I can't even hear you. You sing it?
Yeah. The only thing I ever ask of you, you gotta promise not to stop when I say when. Like where he's whisper singing it because he might not have the greatest ballad voice.
Well, I don't think we're here to judge that.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
What happened?
Right.
All right, so what happened?
They got to get to the these prisoners. Say he picks someone.
Yes.
Like he picks his cellmate.
Yeah.
Now they need to get to this Foo Fighters concert.
Yes.
I guess they would have to.
I know we're thinking the same thing.
On the count of three, let's say it as the same. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Walk out
laundry
of the jail
cart.
Backwards.
What was that?
Walk out of the jail backwards.
No, I think they should get in a laundry cart.
Like a laundry cart. Okay. I think they could also dress as, pretend that they were there to entertain prisoners.
That's funny, too. That's good.
Or, like, they wait for someone who's there to entertain prisoners, and then, like, they kind of...
They give them chloroforms?
Chloroform.
They chloroform
them. Knock them out.
Yes.
And then they dress as them, and then they have to do the show.
Oh, I like it.
Because they knock them out before the show, not after the show.
They make and they have to be them.
Yeah.
So you could double dip. You could get the Foo Fighters, and you could also get, like, maybe Kurt Vile and the Violators are playing there.
So Kurt's playing the prison.
Yeah.
And so then these prisoners see Kurt and the Violators.
Right.
And they knock them out.
Yes.
And then the prisoner has to put on the denim jacket.
Yes.
And
kind of shuffles out. Mm-hmm. Not quite. Doesn't look like he knows where he's going.
But then plays really well.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Beautiful.
Great.
And then kind of also
shrugs.
Yeah, and goes
shuffles out.
Yeah. Maybe that's how the warden knows it's not Kurt Vile, because the guys don't do yeah correctly.
Yeah.
And the warden's like, wait, that's not Kurt.
That's right.
And then do they get out into the Foo Fighter show or not?
See, I thought they would get out, and then they have to get back in now.
That's true. That's
at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Because they're good guys. They're not going to escape.
Mm-hmm.
They have to honor their commitment to serve their time.
Yeah,
so I thought maybe they, the other guy who's left, he would, you know, do the old bed sheets tied together down the outside of the jail, and they would climb up, and that's when they get caught.
Coming back in.
Yes.
Well, what if this, to hide that they're out, one of their pals has to pretend to be them at the same time.
That's really good.
So he's running around pretending to be this guy and pretending to be that guy. That way people have seen them.
That's great.
And no one knows they're missing.
That's great.
Well, God help me. I guess I came up with a jail com with you.
I love it. We can work out the stabbing at some point later, but I think it's great.
The what?
Stabbing.
Stab. Why is there a stabbing?
Well, it's prison. There's got to be a stabbing, right?
Sure, we'll work out. We'll figure a way to work the stab.
Maybe that could be great. Hopefully, we can get a deal memo on this at some point soon.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, and that could be like a B story in it.
I think so. Yeah.
The stab.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Speaking of music.
Uh huh.
What do you think about this guy Tripp Whiting and this whole city country movement that's going on?
The what movement?
City country.
City country.
Yes.
What is city country?
Well, it's this new genre of country music that's starting to get really huge. Basically, it's that new country music that everyone does that sounds like if Train had a pedal steel guitarist who only played for 5 seconds on every song. But the songs also have this weird anti-rural slant to them.
Uh-huh.
I guess what they're doing is they're trying to appeal to, like, maybe college-educated young people or something.
I don't know.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this.
Well, most of the songs are about convincing a girl from the country, you know, from the heartland, to leave her cornpone boyfriend and start a new life in the city with the guy that's singing the song.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's this one song. It's called Get Them Painted On Jeans to the Chateau Marmont.
Uh-huh, okay.
And it's something like, it's like, he's filling your head with small town bull crap, and I hate how he's always wearing that backwards ball cap. You gotta leave that rube in rural Minnesota and join me in L.A. for some mimosas. Doesn't rhyme really well, but it gets the point, you know?
So it's city dudes.
Yes.
Hating country people.
Yeah. It's really weird. But you might want to check it out. Tripp Whiting is actually, he's the most popular of those guys, but there's others who are doing it who are really getting successful too, like, who else is there? Jace Winnings, Tux Jansen, Blend. I dropped my Starbursts.
What flavor?
You know, I did a dumb thing. I eat them like for a couple days, and I hate the lemon ones.
Uh-huh.
So I put those to the side, like in a cup.
Yeah.
And now I just have lemon.
And then do you just, like, force your way through a bunch of lemon ones?
It's like grudge eating, yeah. Uh-huh. Grudge bursts. That's what I call them.
Grudge bursts.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, who else is there? Brace Hevner, Staunch Malone, Cotton Crenshaw, Sherp Loftner.
Anyone else?
There's a bunch of others. I can't really remember who they are right now. Oh, no, wait. There's Dave McCoy, Ralston Freed, Clayton Jennings, Rand Benson, Coop Miller, just to name a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple.
Yeah. Now, that is not to be confused with this hyper-real country that guys like Broughton Mannheim and Scat Clinch are doing.
What kind of country?
Hyper-real.
Hyper. What is hyper-real country?
You've not heard of this?
No.
Well, it's like if the traditional themes of country music, like, heartbreak, marriage, and money problems, if those were injected with some kind of weird, flagrant gorilla growth hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I don't know what that would sound like.
Well, like, there's this one song called What Have I Done?
Mm-hmm.
That goes something like, I'm having twins at 55 with a woman who's 31. There goes my retirement and any chance of having fun. I'm saying bye to the trips I was planning and hello to the shifts I'll be manning down at Costco Junior.
Costco Junior. Okay.
It's like a worse Costco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's this other song called My Wife, My Lover, My Jailer.
Okay. I don't know it.
Hang on. Oh, I found a cherry.
Starburst.
Under my ottoman.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm going to save that. Anyway, this song goes, she got me sleeping on the couch since I put one in her pouch last summer. The baby's screaming and I'm dreaming about being anywhere but here. It's really heavy stuff.
Hyper-real country.
It is. Wow, and there's one called Family Planning. I'm laughing because it's so weird. I can't believe it exists, Tom.
Okay.
Like Bigfoot.
Sure. You can't believe Bigfoot exists?
Not really, no.
Okay. Well, look, that's
I want to believe. Like
I want to hear more about the hyper-real country.
Well, the song called Family Planning
uh-huh.
goes something like, I'm asking you to be my wife and embark with me on a life that's far away from my other wife and the life I have with her and our children.
Well, that's really
crazy, right?
It's country music can be depressing in one way. This is like depressing without any sort of like art or poetry
exactly
to it.
Exactly, right? Just,
it sounds like someone starting therapy. And they're,
that's exactly what it sounds like. And you can only take like two of these songs in a row because they straddle, I don't know, like the line between titillating and offensive while also being like oddly tedious.
Yeah, it's very, there's something so mundane about how confessional it is.
Yeah, there's no snazz about it.
Yeah.
Hey, look.
Yeah?
You brushed it off at Thanksgiving, but I really do love those impressions you do.
Ugh.
No, seriously. You're like, I don't know, a rich little for the cell phone generation.
A rich little for the cell phone. Okay. I don't know if that's a compliment, but...
Anyway, it slices it's a compliment.
Okay.
Would you please do one for me, please?
I don't know. What do you want to hear, Chip?
Oh, I don't know. How about, let me think here. What about Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong and Joe Namath arguing about, I don't know, like what's the best prog album of all time?
Tommy Chong.
Yes.
From Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
And Joe Namath arguing about the best prog album of all time.
Yes.
All right. I'll do this for you, Chip.
Well, I'd say that the most legendary prog album of all time would have to be Close to the Edge by Yes, which I feel has some of the strongest progressive melodies that I've ever heard in an album.
Hey, man, I gotta say you're wrong. It's Tarkus, man. Tarkus is my favorite, man. It's got an armadillo with guns coming off of him, man.
I find Emerson, Lake, and Palmer to be quite indulgent in spots, and Yes is much more compositional, which I'm more of a fan of.
Well, I don't know, man. When Keith Emerson starts playing on Lucky Man, I don't know, and that's not even on Tarkus, man.
Well, Tommy, what do you think of King Crimson?
Look, man, I was a big fan of Court of the Crimson King, but they kind of lost me in the Wake of Poseidon.
You should check out Lark's Tongues in Aspic, which has some of their most majestic work as well. The playing of Robert Fripp combined with Bill Bruford's drumming is exemplary.
Hey, man, you ever listen to Tall Man?
I can't do any more. Does that make you happy now?
Put Mike on.
Mike's, Mike, what do you want to say to Mike? I'll relay it.
What kind of sorcery are you performing over there?
Stop with that.
They're right there with, you summoned them.
I didn't summon them.
Oh my God.
Calm down.
I didn't know whether to laugh because it was hilarious or be terrified out of my BBDs. I still wear BBDs. Underrated brand.
I didn't need to know that, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's top shelf entertainment, if you ask me.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hey, step uncle Tom.
Yeah, what's that, step nephew Chip?
That's an unwieldy, step very uncle. Unsatisfying.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
It feels like you're missing the first third
uncle.
Of the word.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You're really smart, right?
All right. I don't think of myself that way necessarily, but I'm flattered you'd say that.
Maybe you can help me with this problem I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
If I drank a bunch of water, and then I got dropped in the middle of the Sahara Desert, would I have to pee, or would I sweat it all out?
Okay, I don't know if you had to, if you'd sweat out the water you drank in the middle of the Sahara Desert. I have no idea.
Well, you don't have to yell at me.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying.
Yes, you are.
A fair amount.
I can just tell by your voice
okay.
that it's like, I'm over this guy.
Well, I'm all right. I like that impression of me also. Speaking of impressions, I just feel like it's a question. I don't know what the point of that question is to call up on the radio show.
It's a question that's never been asked, probably, right?
Well, not every question that's been asked, that doesn't mean every question should be asked. It doesn't know, I don't know if it's interesting or not.
Are you going to tell me that the first guy that ever ate a hot dog, like, didn't say, oh, I wonder if I should eat this or not, and then he had one, and then everyone loves hot dogs?
I don't even know what that means.
Do your research. I've done mine. Famous Nathan said it.
Fine. Okay, so that's what famous Nathan said. I wasn't getting into you with a thing with that.
Well, I don't like it.
You don't like it.
I should have clocked you at Thanksgiving, but I didn't.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
Piece
know.
He's a grunt.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's charming. That's
well,
nice. I'm your step-uncle, and that's how you talk
I'll
to me.
I'll fight you.
Uh-huh.
I will.
You'll fight me.
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you one thing. You're lucky I'm at night church right now, or I would ride my unicycle over there and wrap around your dumb, stupid face.
Oh, thine kingdom on high shall comfort the afflicted.
But I'll tell you what. Mark my words. I will get you when you least expect it. Remember that, okay?
Fine. Wait, what?
The sheaves of thine heavenly substance pour over the hungry masses.
Now, I'll tell you one thing. Hope your insurance is paid up, because you're going to need it.
Oh, that's nice. That's charming.
Oh, come to us, O flagrant truths of the Holy Land, and sprinkle your love on thee.
I meant your life insurance.
Huh. Well, that's nice. Nice threat from a family member. That's charming.
Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Best. And of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, and of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeyer, and you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net, and support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.